Welcome to the Navigation Church podcast, featuring practical and encouraging weekly messages from one of our pastors or featured guests. Make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. Every message is committed to helping you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here's today's message with Pastor David Amston.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, this is the way we have to open up every week, and last week we peeked behind the curtain of why. If you're excited about hearing the Word of God today, put your hands together. We are in week number four of a five-week topic that we're doing in 4 weeks. I know that sounds confusing, but don't worry, I'll cover it for you. One of the things that we discovered over time, and actually this was first revealed to me when I was reading an Andy Stanley book called Deep and Wide. And one of the things that he had in this book was, he said, over time, as I look backwards, there are some key distinctives that people who grew in Christ all seem to have. And so one of the key distinctive, which we talked about week number one, was that people practically applied the Word of God. And this is the way we remember it here at the church. So have you ever seen a can of paint before? And if you open up that can of paint, it looks beautiful. But if you want to know the real value of this can of paint, what do you have to do? You have to apply it to a wall. And the Word of God is the very same thing. If you just read the Bible, like go read the book of Proverbs, go read the Song of Songs, go read John, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was. Like it is poetic and it is beautiful. But if you want to know the real value of the Word of God, the best way for you to do, best thing for you to do is to actually apply it to your life. But we also discovered that week, all too often as Christians, here's what we prefer to do. Rather than repainting the walls of our sin, we would rather touch up the issues of our life. Have you ever seen a house that you come in and clearly, before their guests came over, they tried to do some touch-up work, and you can see all those little blobs, and then you wonder, why is these issues standing out so big? God didn't come here so we could touch up our issues. God came up here to transform us and to make us something new. And so, by the way, I don't know if you all need your coffee this morning, but I'm already preaching better than you're talking, so let's go, okay? So week number one, we covered that you have to have practical application, and I think we made a pretty good case that Jesus didn't come here to teach you theology. Jesus came here to teach you how to practically live. And we covered this by going through the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, you once heard it said that murder was this, but I'm actually calling you to this. You heard it said adultery was this, but I'm calling you to this. He taught us how to practically apply the Word of God to our life. So week number one was practical application. The reason we covered that in the first week is because if we don't practically apply what it is we're going to talk about, then there's no reason to talk about the impending weeks. And so week number one is we have to apply the Word of God we used a paintbrush. Week number two, we actually talked about our private disciplines. Everyone say private disciplines. We again found this in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was talking, and in three times he said, hey, if you do these things in public, you already get your reward. But if you do it with me in private, you will get a reward from me. And here's, ready for this? We have limited time on our hands. How many can say yes to that? You have limited time. You know, I'm asking the wrong people. Anyone with parents that have kids and multiple sporting or dance events, you have limited time. Can I get an amen? Okay, we're all on the same page. So God says, with your limited time, I want you to talk to me through prayer. And you know what else we have? We have limited resources. So God says, I want you to be able to give back to me and the tithes and the offerings. So you have limited resources, but don't worry, I have a reward for you. And then he also tells us this, you have limited energy. Does anyone ever just get done at the end of the day? You're ready to fall into bed. You're absolutely tired. Here's what God says. I want you to actually give up some of that energy in the form of fasting. So every place that we have limitations, God is saying, take your limitations and bring it to the limitless God and see what happens. Because I will reward you. When you come with prayer, I'm going to reward you with intimacy. When you come with your tithes and offering, I'm going to reward you with protection. And when you come with your fasting, I'm going to reward you with provision. And so we have to have these private disciplines in our life, and we can only actually do these if we're practically applying these. But the reason we need to do these private disciplines is God has called us to a personal ministry. Ministry should not just happen through pastors who have a degree and stand on a stage for a couple hours a day. It would have been the worst marketing plan in the history of mankind. Here's what a better one is. I train you to then leave, and wherever you work, whoever your family is, whatever school you're going to, you are now ministers of the gospel because you have a personal ministry. You ready for this? Because you know people I will never meet. You also have tools that I don't have. Why do I say you have tools? Because in personal ministry, we had a tool belt out here. We had a lot of stuff for the private disciplines. I'm not going to cover that. But this week, we had a tool belt. And here's why. You have gone through things in your life that you don't think anyone else has ever experienced. Is that you? Why waste pain? What if your pain can now be a tool that you can pull out of your tool belt later as a place of ministry in your personal ministry into someone else's life? Because here's one thing I can promise you. I can guarantee this. I mean, take it to the bank. Ready for this? David Amston, the man, will never experience a miscarriage. Okay. Do we need to cover why? Number one, I'm a dude. But here's what I do know for a fact, that David has had interactions with females that have had miscarriages before. And as much as I can say, God is there for you and I'll pray for you, and you know what she needs? She needs another woman who has already walked this road before and conquered it and found Jesus to sit there and go, I know your pain and I will journey it with you. That is what personal ministry looks like. And God has given you a tool belt, and you can do one of two things with past experiences. You can pull them out and lick your own wounds, or you can pull out a tool and fix someone else's. And so now, those are the first 3 weeks that we covered. Now we're on week number four. Week number four is going to be two different topics, because by the time we get through the one, you will see that the second one just jumps on board. The first three tools that we covered in these, when it comes to the building blocks of spiritual growth, I can tell you now, these are tools that you pull out yourself and use at any time. You do not need to be motivated, moved by God, or encouraged to. When it comes to your prayer life, when it comes to your giving, when it comes to your devotion, when it comes to practical application, when it comes to your personal ministry, that only happens because you make a decision to do it. But these last two, you usually don't have an opportunity to make a decision, and here's why. The first one is called pivotal moments. How many have ever had a hot water heater go out in your ideal time frame? How many have ever had a car break or a door fall off or something like that in your life where you go, this was the ideal time for me to blow this tire? Okay, let me ask you this. How many got that call from the doctor before? How many ever had a loved one pass away and you go, thank God, right on time? You don't. Because these are pivotal moments. The thing you need to know about pivotal moments is they're both positive and negative. Because we've announced lately that Pastor Aaron just welcomed baby number two into his life, and he's so excited. But I can tell you this, the family's in a pivotal moment, right? You bring one baby in, you're two adults attacking it. Now you have two babies, and it's one-on-one. You add three, you're in zone defense. Parents, we all know this. Like, things start. Even good things can be pivotal moments. I would even say this, if you get married, you think you're excited because now we get married and we get to live together and we get to do those things that married people get to do, figure it out on your own. But you know what you actually have? You have two worlds about to collide. And guess what? That's a pivotal moment. So when it comes to the tool of the pivotal moment, I couldn't help but think of a sledgehammer, because I've never pulled this thing out before to put in finishing nails. Right? What do you pull this thing out? That thing's heavy. I'm going to go a little bit higher on the base there. Flexing the arm on that. So you pull this out for one thing, and it's to break stuff. I love you, sir. That's the answer. Those online, I need you right now. Just type in break stuff. Like, that's it. Like, you pull out this thing to get object one to move from point A to point B. And in a pivotal moment in your life, you are going to have to move from point A to point B. But the question is, when you're moving, say I grew up with a dad that had a phrase that I hated as a kid, and I'll just be honest with you, because he always said this, everyone's moving, no one's standing still. Everyone moving. What did this mean? Confusion. That's what it meant. We're packing up. Everyone's moving. I'm six, you know, and I'm trying to figure out where to put bags. And all I know is as long as I keep moving bags, Dad is happy. Everyone moving, no one standing still. But oddly enough, this phrase that I grew up in my life is a phrase that I believe now because I believe this. I believe that everyone is always moving, no one standing still. When it comes to your relationship with God, the question that we have to wrestle with, are we moving towards him or away from him? I'd go a step further. I believe in my relationship with my wife, I'm always moving, I'm never standing still. The question is, am I moving towards her or in our relationship, am I moving away from her? I believe with my kids, I'm always moving somewhere in my life. The question is, when the kids drive me nuts and I decide to use the power of my voice and the strength of my personality to crush them, are they moving towards a father that represents their heavenly God, or are they moving away from that abusive person? Everyone's moving, no one's standing still. Question for you today, are you moving? And if so, which direction? Now, you may be moving faster because you had a pivotal moment come your way. But in everyday life, you should be moving towards him. Well, how can I move towards him? Because you're practically applying your personal disciplines of prayer, fasting, and giving by allowing God to move you at any place of your life so that you can do personal ministry to someone else. And where's the personal ministry more often need to happen? In pivotal moments. So at this point, I just talked a lot without ever getting into the Bible. How about David's philosophies, David's psychology? How about we put that on the back shelf and see what Jesus has to say? And if Jesus doesn't match up with what I have to say, we'll discard all that. Or we can see, no, this is how we're supposed to be living. So I want to invite you to open up to John 11. If you have a paper Bible, you're welcome to open up to that. If you have your app, you can open up your app. You can read it on the scripture behind me. And those online, I know that we're going to have, you got Jen in there with you this morning. She'll be posting things, but make sure to be interacting, asking questions, and typing along. So here's where we go. The story of Lazarus, story you know really well. Verse number one, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, a village of Mary and her sister Martha. See, this Mary, in verse number two, whose brother was Lazarus, now lay sick, was the same person who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped it away from his feet. So you can read more about this in Luke chapter 7 and John 12, who Mary is. But can I just summarize it like this? If I were making this story in a movie format, I would say this. We are now talking about the three key ministry partners that has Jesus's back. The first time Jesus started a CD ministry, Mary and Martha were in the back changing out those discs. Does anyone know what a CD ministry is? Or did I jumped a little bit there. So a tape ministry, like these guys were the ones that started. They're the ones that came to Jesus and was like, listen, we need to make some bumpers for the wagons. Like, you got to get your word out there. Have you thought about starting a podcast? These three, they were their main ministry partners. But the brother Lazarus was sick. So in verse three, so the sisters sent word to Jesus. And I love this sentence. It says, Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus at this time is about 20 miles away. If you were to just start walking at a casual pace, it would take you about 8 hours to get back to where they were. So can we say this? Jesus was a day away if he left right now to get to Lazarus. And when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified about it. Jesus, here's what he just said. He goes, oh, someone's sick? Everyone needs to be aware of this. There's another miracle coming. And this is, so you have to say this, that because Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there two more days. I have a handful of questions that we need to cover right now. Because as I read this, Jesus, you were 8 hours away. Within a day, you could have been there. But now we see that you're going to stay in the same place. Because when I think about Jesus, I think God is love. And every time I call on Jesus' name, I expect him to drop everything he's doing and sprint to me. Am I the only person that has that perspective of who Jesus is? Because after all, God is love, God is love, God is love. Here's a fun fact that I'm going to throw this out just to try to bother somebody. In the Bible, it says that God is love two times. It says that he's holy 400 plus times. See, we as a society has made the biggest thing about God his love. The fact is God is holy and he is separate from us. He's other than us. He thinks bigger than us. He thinks outside of us. And so now we see less than 2 days away, you have like Jesus saying in this one place, but here's the thing that I've always wondered, which by the way, this isn't in the Bible. You don't have to believe it, but it's the way my mind works. If they sent word to Jesus about Lazarus, I'm assuming word could have got back to them. And here's why I say this. They didn't text. They didn't call. They had to send someone. And if you were that messenger, because it wouldn't have been hard to find Jesus, he was the biggest thing during this time period, crowds of people, everyone would have known where they're going. You think that messenger finally wrestled, gets up to Jesus and goes, listen, your friend Lazarus that you know and that you love is sick. And Jesus, you heard him say it out of his mouth. Jesus said this, it will not end in death. You don't think that messenger immediately high-fived Jesus, smacked him on the rear, good game team, and just, he might not have smacked him on the rear, I don't know, because of the robe and the hair and stuff, but all men, you don't think that messenger immediately went back to Martha and Mary and said, I have great news. Jesus just told me, I heard it out of his mouth that I'm allowed to bring you hope. This is not ending in death. Okay, he's coming. I guess we'll go to bed. He won't travel at night. Wake up the next day. He's coming. The problem is, Jesus wasn't coming over the horizon, and Lazarus was only getting worse. And if you've ever sat by someone who's at the end of their life, there's a certain process everybody goes through. What their body goes through. And if you've never been with someone, and not trying to be crude or, you know, gross or anything, but if you've ever sat next to a deathbed as someone was in the death gurgles, is what they call it. It's this undeniable sound and noise that you will never get out of your ears. And there had to be a moment where Mary and Martha was sitting next to Lazarus. And while he was taking those hard, belabored breath, while lungs were getting filled with liquid and the heart is swelling and all that, there had to be a moment in time where he did this. And never breathed back in. While the whole time, have you ever had this? But there's a promise from God about this situation that it doesn't align here. So Jesus, then in verse 7, said, let's go to Judea. Wait a second. Lazarus is in Bethany. Judea is where persecution was. Judea is where they wanted to kill Jesus. In verses 8 through 10, which we're not going to read, they're going, hey, Jesus, not to question the all-knowing rabbi that we're following, but quick history review. Friend dying, city that wants to kill us. So Jesus goes into this whole kind of mini teaching right here, which I'm not even going to read because it's not a part of today's topic. But even in this environment, Jesus is trying to reveal to disciples who he is. And after he said all that in verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there and wake him up. The disciples are like, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he's going to get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he then plainly said, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. So that you may believe, but let's go to him now. See, I just read that sentence that no one responded the way you should have. Your mom, your husband, your son, your daughter, your best friend is at home dying. The only person that could possibly heal him is Jesus. And you just heard Jesus. Have you ever had internal monologue that you accidentally said outside? Okay, if not, it's just me. I do that all the time. My internal monologue has been broken for years. I just say whatever I'm thinking. At this point, I don't know the position that Jesus had taken, but here's how I read it. I read an annoyed Jesus going, guys, he's just sleeping. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. But if he's sleeping, they'll just wake up and he goes, hey, dude, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad he's dead. Like, how else would you read that? Jesus blurted out loud, I'm glad this dude's dead, and by the way, now we can go. Like, this should not have been one of those things said out loud, because here's the thing, Jesus is recognizing that there is a pivotal moment at this time, and everybody in Jesus' world has experienced a Jesus that comes in at a specific time of a pivotal moment and heals. But the problem is, Jesus doesn't want them to keep knowing that aspect of him. There's a whole nother aspect of Jesus that he has to reveal. But the only way to reveal that is for you to go down a deeper road, a darker road, a more isolated road, a lonely road. And Jesus actually says outside of his mouth, I'm happy when you go through things that are miserable and are calling out to me. This is what it's saying right here. I'm happy that this death is around you and you're calling out to me. See, everything in our life, we never want to make things better when they're not broken. I've never had a couple call me and say, hey, the marriage is going great. Can you tell us of a great counselor that we could just start going to and talking? I've never got that phone call. You know when I get the phone call? I'm killing her and she tried to kill me. Can you help us both stop? Like, that is the phone calls I get. Because sometimes you don't get desperate enough for help till desperation is your only help. And so Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, and by the way, this is where your faith has to be. Let us also go that we may die with him. These are people who wrote the book that we're reading now. That is their faith level. I need to believe that Jesus is my healer. No, I'll believe this, that I can walk with him. I'm probably going to die because of it. Like, it's such a great line. Like, you don't have to have big faith. You just have to say yes faith. Yes, yes faith. I don't know why there was a T-H in that word. If you're online right now, type yes, Y-E-T-H. So, upon his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus, and this is verse 17, has already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days is very interesting. It's a very good thing. And here's why. So there is a, let's see if I can remember this name. There's a famous doctor, Magic Max from Princess Bride, that would say it this way. Up to 3 days, he's just mostly dead. But according to Jewish tradition, on day number 4, the spirit leaves the body. Jesus waited till there was no hope left to reveal what hope truly was. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. I love that they keep telling us how close Jesus was, but he wasn't quite there before. And here's why I say that. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I just needed him closer. Am I the only one that gets annoyed, ticked off, bothered when I'm desperately needing Jesus and you hear about everyone else who's getting him? When you need the testimony, when you need the healing, when you need the miracle, when you need the answer. My God, I've been praying for months now for one stinking answer. And you know what I keep hearing about God answering everybody else's prayer? Because he's just 2 miles away. And many Jews have come to Mary and Martha to comfort them for the loss of their son. At this point, they would almost put out a call for mourners to come. I always kind of hear it like a duck call. You know, just these mourners would come in and they'd be there crying. And when Martha heard that Jesus, that was for so few people, I enjoyed it. And when people heard that Jesus was coming, Martha went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Who are you in this story? Everyone's moving, no one's standing still. Jesus is coming close. Are you passionately running after him, or are you staying where you're at because you've been hurt by him? It's interesting, because when you have Martha, who heard he was coming, went out to meet him, you had Mary who stayed at home. Mary was suffering from a disappointment because of a false appointment that she sent on Jesus. Jesus said he would heal, not how. But when we set our appointments on Jesus for how he's supposed to come through us, most of our disappointments on him are actually disappointments because we set an appointment he never said yes to. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you would not have been there, or if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know what I love? In reading that sentence, there's no reason, no way she came out and said, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would have been alive. Can I just tell you, I've seen disappointed women and hurt women enough. And I'm assuming this, emotion was at a 10. Ladies, can I get any type of amen from you? Just so, okay, like, yeah, not, okay, we got woo girls still going. Like, I'm thinking she came out and the author said, I'm going to summarize what she said. Because if I've had one conversation with a woman, I've had all of them. And they start with, you know, Jesus, 2 months ago. I was just told, careful. I know, but listen, I got to unpack it. This is the Bible, we got to unpack it. Jesus, like 2 months ago, he wasn't feeling good. He kind of got sick. And then 6 weeks ago, and 5 weeks ago, and 4 weeks ago, and Jesus sitting there just nice and peaceful. And at some point, I'm thinking, she goes, and if you would have been here. Her brothers are dead. Her source of income gone. The person that could have handled it absent. You don't think she was highly emotional and let Jesus have everything she was thinking. And then Jesus, the very next step, the very next verse says this, honey, don't talk to me like that. I'm the Son of God. Wait, it doesn't say that. Jesus met her where she's at. When it comes to your private disciplines of prayer, can I ask you to stop being religious? Because here's the next line. Ready for this? She goes, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha goes, oh, he will rise again in the resurrection of the day. She had enough religion in her head. She was able to answer religiously. But at this point, here's what Jesus was doing, talking to her honestly. In your time of prayer, can you stop trying to make it perfect and just talk to God like he's a person? Just have a conversation with him and say this, I am mad that you weren't here when this happened. God, why did you allow this door to open? God, why couldn't you have delayed me by 3 minutes and I had to get in that car accident, suffer from a concussion, and now we don't have the insurance? Like, at some point, just talk to him. Because if not, we come out the other way of, Jesus, I know that in your goodness and your exponential wisdom, like at some point, Jesus is like looking and going, listen, I'm not here to have a theological conversation. I'm here to connect with you. I remember when I first had the opportunity to become a chaplain of the police department. I got one of my earlier phone calls. It was this. We just found out that a son had committed suicide. Actually, this is way gone. No way you'll know what I'm talking about. But like the needle, he so put it in his heart of heroin that the moment he pressed it in, he died. Like hand didn't even drop. Died right there. Police said, can you come and be a part of the family? Well, I came, and it was just the mom there. And I walked in the door, and the mom looked at me and goes, what are you here for? And I said, well, I'm just a chaplain, seeing if I can help. And she looked at me, and by the way, add whatever additional four-letter words that you need to. But she asked this, you here to raise my kid from the dead? And that's the moment where they go, as a pastor, you go, I didn't get training for this one. You know, only got my master's. If I would have got my doctorate, maybe I'd have this answer. And so in looking at that, I just remember looking at her and I said, I have no idea if I can raise him from the dead, but I do know this, I can hug you. She walked across the kitchen, and I do remember, I kid you not, it was a 12-inch knife. She was cooking and this knife was present. Everything else stopped. She came, fell into my arms and just wept. And this is the moment that I picked with Jesus. Of I can talk to you about the theology of raising someone from the dead, or I can just be present in your pain. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives will believe in me, or excuse me, let me say that again. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you remember when Jesus said the phrase, I'm glad I wasn't there? The reason he's glad he wasn't there in the middle of the worst moment of your life is because you already know that healing Jesus. Jesus is now saying to you, do you believe that there's another aspect of who he is? Do you believe that there's another facet that he wants to reveal about himself? Do you believe that there's more to learn about God than what you currently know? Jesus allowed your life circumstances to create an opportunity not to reinforce the God you know, but to learn more about the God you don't. So why does pain happen in our life? What if the pain of our life is an opportunity for us to see an aspect of God we never would have known outside of that pain? What if the struggle that you're going through isn't a vindictive God who hates you and trying to get back to you because a month ago you decided to look back at porn and you didn't tell anybody about it? No, maybe this is happening in your life because the repercussions of just sin in your life. But in this, rather than saving you the way he always had, he said, listen, you're going to go darker, you're going to go deeper, and it's going to look more hopeless. But when I step into your hopelessness as the hope you've never seen before, now you have an aspect of God you never would have known before. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and he said, where have you laid him? Come and see, Lord, they replied. In this sentence, you can only know if you've been journeying with Jesus's mindset here. Because Jesus has been very vocal that he's not going to end in death. Hence, he knew what he was about to do. Jesus has been saying, there's a new aspect of me that I want to introduce to you. Hence, why he's about to do what he wants to do. But then, in the shortest verse in the Bible, in the middle of all this trauma, it says that Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Because as humanity, we often think that God is distant from us, outside of us, and indifferent to us. But the fact is that God stands with us in our pain. And I know this is going to sound so weird, and I hope you get this. I hope I've done somewhat of a good job communicating this. God wants to allow the pain of your life to have its perfect process. I don't want to serve a God that pulls away the weight every time it's heavy. How else do I build my faith muscles? I want the God that will stand next to me and weep and say, I know that it's heavy, but it's not going to crush you. And then Jesus does the most powerful thing. Jesus then has him roll away the stone. And with a loud voice, Jesus didn't say, come out. I personally believe, don't know if this is factual, but I think if Jesus would have said, come out to that empty tomb, every body that was laying in there would have come walking out. I think every person that had been laid there from decades, centuries before, would have had to respond to the living word of Jesus Christ. Jesus is so personal in his ministry that he goes, Lazarus. Not everybody else. I'm calling out the name of one person. Lazarus, it's time for you to come out. And the dead man came out with his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus could have walked up and begin taking off his grave clothes. But here's a newsflash. If someone is going through a pivotal moment in their life, Jesus uses other providential relationships to do the ministry. Yeah. We need the word of Jesus. He needs the hands of us. And the reason I grab this level, have you ever been in a place in your life where you were just out of level, but you just happened to run into the old friend? You saw that person from high school. Someone randomly calls you on the phone, and after a brief conversation, you feel a little more level in your life? What if there is a God in heaven that so cares about the pivotal moments that you're going through in your life, he will bring a providential relationship your way to help balance out where you're off? And Jesus could have said, man, Lazarus, good to see you. Sorry, I know, long 4 days, but I had to teach them about the resurrection. Like, Jesus could have done all that. But Jesus is not here on the earth to do the work. We are. We are his hands. We are his feet. He's the living voice that we have to speak. And I'm telling you now, providential relationships still happen today. I had a phone call, got a message on my answering machine up here. An answering machine is where people leave voicemails. So yeah, I just realized I'm old still. Give this lady a call, and she starts asking about, do we have any groups here, blah, blah, blah. Not important to the story. And at some point I said, hey, do you mind if I ask how you got a hold of me? And she said, yeah, I was having a really bad day at my apartment, and a lady and her son saw me, stopped what they were doing, and came over and started talking to me. In the midst of the conversation, told me about Navigation Church. So let me get this straight. We have partners here. This is the craziest thing, and I'm almost a proud pastor. So ready for this. We have partners here at the church that decided to be a providential relationship while someone was in a pivotal moment to help them take their next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And now this lady can be here because these people, they decided in their own life, or this is how we need to live, that we're going to have some private devotions that we do. And these private devotions, I'm going to learn to hear from God. My faith is going to raise in God. My trust is in God because I give back to God. And my private disciplines are all happening because I'm practically applying what God has been telling me in my life so that I'm ready when someone is going through a pivotal moment that you, not me, not Cammy, not Pastor Aaron, not Pastor Steve, not Pastor, no one else. You are the providential relationship that someone's been called to. And you don't have to call me because God has your tool belt on. If he needed my tool, they would have been brought my way. You have the tool. Because there's been a pain that you went through before that now has been developed into a place of ministry. So, when it comes to the building blocks, I would say this. You need to, on a regular basis, ask God, how do you apply it? Well, God, I don't know how to apply it. Here's what I do know. Between praying, fasting, and giving, these are disciplines you can do all the time. And then we have to start looking. It's the reason why we're allowing opportunities for you to serve here at church. You need to step into those opportunities where you can serve other people through your personal ministry. Well, I don't know who to serve. Oh, you will. When the trials of life hit someone, you'll see it. And there's a chance that God will bring you that way just to bring leveled balance back to their life, because they could have some death clothes that they cannot figure out how to get off by themselves. And he's calling us to do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this time, I asked Cindy just to come back up here with me. For those in our online community, Jen's there with you right now. I'm going to ask you not to log off. I'm not going to ask you to go. We normally do something called interactive worship during our worship time where we pray together, communion together, give together, serve together. It's just, but today we felt like we should do this at the end of service. And here's why. If I were to ask right now, is there anybody in here that you are in the middle of a pivotal moment? Just by me talking about the death of Lazarus, you emotionally were able to connect to that in a bigger way because of what you're struggling with. Maybe it's a finance thing. Maybe it's a physical thing, emotional, relational. Maybe you just don't know what your next step in life is supposed to be. But you would say right now that you feel more often hit by this than hugged around the neck. I want to take a moment for us just to have prayer and allow other people to come around you and start pulling off those death clothes. And so God, right now, we're just going to pause here. God, I'm in no hurry except to rush into what you're doing. Holy Spirit, the first thing I feel led to pray for is simply this. There's some of you that you've left your walls up high, thinking that this shroud of toughness is what you need in order to accomplish that which God has called you to. And I'm telling you now, the Holy Spirit is calling you to drop that shroud down, to drop that facade down, to drop that wall down, because at some point, Lazarus could no longer ask for help. He was voiceless. If you're here today and you just keep building that wall up and I don't need this, can I just ask you to do this? Can you just drop it for a minute and just say this? I'm exhausted and I want to have an honest conversation with God. And that conversation is this: if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you would have been here, I wouldn't have to go into surgery. If you would have been here, I wouldn't have lost the promotion. If you would have been here, my wife wouldn't have, my husband wouldn't have, my kids couldn't have. If you would have been here. And now we're going to say this: God, I welcome the new aspect of you that I've never met before. I pray for resurrection Jesus to show up in your life this morning. I pray for those of you online that are watching because you physically can't be here, the resurrection of health to be in your life right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for those of you that in your business, you keep hitting a glass ceiling and you can't figure out what it is. God has called you to bring finances into the kingdom, and I speak resurrected life of Jesus over your business right now in the name of Jesus. I know this is going to seem very weird. Could I ask everyone to look at me real quick? I feel like God's calling us to a time of honesty. I'm going to ask a question and you need to respond quickly. If you're here today and you're in a pivotal moment and you want to be honest with Jesus, hands straight up in the air. Let me see, hands straight up there. Okay, here's the next thing I need. But you guys got to stay with me, because if one person does it, everyone do it. If you're here and you're in a pivotal moment, you need Jesus, stand to your feet. Only the people that want prayer, stand to your feet. If that's you, stand to your feet. I know I saw hands. Okay, church. Multiple people here. If you're online, don't get off yet. Jen is there with you. She wants to be praying with you. But if you're here in person, here's what happens. Right now, some Lazarus were just willing to walk out of the grave. Could I get some providential relationships to begin walking their way? And if you're a guest, I don't care. I want you praying. Could I get providential relationships? Stand up out of your feet. If you're here and you want prayer, hand up. I know if you're a guest, this is awkward, but I promise you, Jesus is going to do. Could I ask our providential relationships to start moving around this place right now and lay hands on people? We have some people over here. Stand to your feet and start moving. If one person's there, we can have two people there. If three people are there, I'm fine with five. I got a gentleman right up here. Can I get some prayer here? We got a lady. You got prayer there. Fantastic. We have someone right back here in this corner. Can I have prayer right back there? This is a time when providential relationships, and here's the thing, I'm not talking for the next 2 minutes. It's time for you to start praying out loud and allowing the Spirit of God to begin healing lives. Come on, church, start praying for them.
Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Shake up the ground.
with someone. Let's go about another 30 seconds.
This is my surrender.
Church, if we can't practice praying here, you're never going to do it there.
Here's where I lay it down.
Every burden.
Every burden. Every crown.
Every grave clothes.
This is my
every stench
surrender.
Of death.
This is my surrender.
Washed off for you in the name of Jesus. Laying down old thoughts.
Every lie and every doubt.
Every shame, every chain that would try to hold
surrender.
You back. We lay it down.
This is my surrender. Cause I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want.
If you know these words, say them with us. I will make
I will
room for
make
you.
Room
whatever you want to.
To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to.
Say them again. I will make room for you today, God.
I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. I will make room for you.
So if you're still praying, I want to just finish by saying this. God, we bless you. We thank you. Today, God, all grave clothes that have been stripped off here, they stay here. They don't walk out the door with you. You're out of the grave. You're out of the tomb. You're out of that death. You are life 2.0. Lazarus, from this point forward, the only testimony you have was, dude, I was dead. But you know what I know? I know a resurrecting Jesus that has the power to climb off the cross, but he stayed there for me. Because Jesus didn't want to cure death in a person. He wanted to destroy death for all mankind. That's the Jesus we get to know now. So I pray that the Lord blesses you. I pray that he keeps you. I pray that his face shines down upon you. And as you begin journeying this week, I pray that your eyes are available to see those in pivotal moments. And when God, not if, when that Holy Spirit talks to you to be the providential relationship. I pray for boldness to rise up inside of you in the name of Jesus. I pray for a tongue and a language that you've never had before to begin welling up to where you speak in a place of boldness, power, and strength that whatever they're facing, you have the anointing. Not because of who you are, because of whose you are, and that anointing will break the chains. So I pray this prayer, actually of empowerment, of equipping, of mantling, of anointing today. Because if we're willing to do this, we are willing to be a part of the building blocks that is your spiritual growth. If you're a guest, thank you so much. Hey, can we show some love right now? Just guests. If you're a guest, you don't have to do anything today except stop by our connecting center and let us be able to connect with you. And if you're here ready to take your next step and you don't know what that means, if it's water baptism, if it's serving, if you're just ready to take your next step in Christ, please stop by our next step booth. But until next week, God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks again for joining us this week on the Navigation Church podcast. We hope this message strengthened and encouraged you in the next step of your journey. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. And if you want more information about Navigation Church or wish to connect with us in more ways, visit navchurch.org, download the Nav app in your app or Google Play Store, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and even like the Navigation Church page on Facebook. And again, make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. For now, know Navigation Church is always here to help you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.